This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3306 for Monday, the 5th of April 2021. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for March 2021 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 33 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in March 2021.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, it's Hacker Public Radio Community News for March 2021. For those of you who are new to HPR, this is a summary of what's been going on in the HPR community for the last month. All this information is available on the website and it's useful even for older hosts to go and have a quick read of the website and make sure that everybody knows what's going on. The HPR volunteers, myself and usually Dave, who can't join me today, are the ones who basically post the shows when you press the OK button and process comments and stuff. We do this under the guidance of the HPR community via the mail list, and we make sure that once a month we give you an update of what's been going on and make sure that you are, that every show has got some feedback. Due to the nature of HPR, it can take a while before feedback comes in. So the idea here was that 1 month would be the longest you need to wait for some form of feedback. Last month, we had finally one new host, Tim Timmy, who took advantage of our narration option. If you, for any reason, are unable or unwilling to record a show, you can always send a script to one of the HPR folks here and we'll find somebody to narrate it for you. Worst case scenario, we can also run it through a text-to-speech engine. So that's Tim Timmy. Welcome to him. And now we will go through the last month's show. The first show was HPR Community News, and there were zero comments about the show. Nothing controversial either was said, apparently. Then some guy on the internet, excellent handle, must say, was on about the HPR laptop with AMD Ryzen 3 mobile and with Radeon graphics. And Frank posted the comment, using your OEM Windows key in a VM. Hi there. I'm afraid to have to dampen your expectation. These days, the Windows license key, or at least the OEM ones, meaning those that are imposed on you when you buy the hardware, is usually tied to the hardware. For that means, i.e. the BIOS or whatever chip. I don't think it will be accepted inside a VM. Your best bet for the drive would be to pop it into an external case and use it as mobile storage or as a backup drive, or at least bare if you have a hot swap adapter. That's what I did with the hard disk drive that came in my ThinkPad when that arrived 5 years ago. I only did one short boot up because I was curious about Windows 10, so I had my first and for many years only contact with that. I then swapped the drive out for a third-party SSD, also from Crucial, straight away. Regarding your RAM particularly, I'm not sure it sounds like those missing 2 gigs are siphoned off for the internal graphics. So the next day we had the HPR RPG Club reviewing Dead Earth. Escape from reality by pretending you live in a dystopia. And Dead Earth is an RPG game published under the GNU documentation license. And I must say, I really enjoy these games, game reviews, even though I may not be that into the game. Introduction to GDB. A really friendly introduction to GNU Debugger. This is also by Tlatu and is part of the compiler series. Let me just go back and make sure there were no comments on the tabletop gaming one. No, there weren't. And there were also no comments on this. This was a nice introduction just into compilers and how they work. I don't do a lot of compiling myself, and it's good to see these introductory shows being put on there so that you have at least a feel for what's going on. Next day we had upgrading Lubuntu on my Samsung N150 Plus netbook, and this was submitted by Mr. X and walked us through the entire process. Also no comments on this, but I will comment that I recently just dug out my old Acer Aspire 1 G5 model, and it was literally the most perfect form factor for a small PC. Just slightly bigger than an A5 notebook. A5 notebook. And keyboard wasn't too cramped. It has a better keyboard than a lot of the Chromebooks that there are there now. So, yeah. I can definitely see why it would be worth your while digging out some of these old laptops and use them as just a SSH to something devices. The following day, we had a Tim Timmy episode supporting the WireGuard, showing how to use WireGuard as a VPN. And this was a show that I'd been asking him to do for a while, and thankfully he put it together and we recorded it and got it out there. No comments on that. Very few comments this month. Archer72 sent in a quick tip with regard to cooking and boiling eggs. And this one I did not know. Perfectly peeled eggs. If you want to know what that is, I recommend listening to the show. It's very short and you will have a very good tip there. The following day we had continuing series of the Linux in-laws, Grumpy Old Coders. And David, Thomas, Martin and Chris discuss borrowing and basically a discussion of various different programming languages. I actually found this quite an interesting discussion, so if you've got a minute, no harm to give that a listen. The next day was a show of mine that had one comment, and it said monochromic Apache control restart versus system control restart Apache 2 service. I've been using system control restart Apache 2 service to restart Apache, but the recommended way is to use Apache 2 control. Interesting observation, as the only difference seems to be a private temp clause in the unit definition for the service. I wonder why exactly that made a difference. So this was basically, I wanted to have a Nextcloud on my internal network behind the router, but before my second firewall. The next day we had GIMP, more on layer tools and techniques. And seriously, if you're not following this show, if you're not particularly interested in the GIMP, do listen along, because a lot of the fundamentals that Ahuka is talking about here are applicable to quite a lot of the graphic programs in general. I mean, there's only so many ways you can do it, and within free libre open source software anyway, they make no bones about trying to stay consistent between ways of doing things. So very good and very good show there. And I'm actually looking forward at the end. I hope that he produces a sort of PDF of the all the posts that he's done. Should be quite easy to do because he's got it covered on his own website, and just put them into some sort of ebook for the rest of us to enjoy. The following day, we did have another show from Ahuka, and the reason we have some hosts posting twice this month is because we were very short of shows and people aren't sending them in. Just to remind you all that HPR is a community podcast network, and we basically need to have shows coming in all the time. Don't worry if the queue is full. There will always be a few months where there's nothing. And since the pandemic has started, we've seen that it's more difficult for people to send in shows, possibly because of the less commuting time, possibly because other things are dragging people's attention. Maybe you're in front of the computer more and not walking as much, so less time for podcasts, more time for videos. But if you've got a tip or an idea, or you're writing a blog post, then just record it as well and post it up here to Hacker Public Radio. That would be great. Anyway, batch processing. Three comments on this one, so this was interesting. rmccuddy.com says audio. I think that's operator. It could be wrong. Using FFmpeg and VLC will get everything done you likely need. And there's a link to the how to speed up and slow down video using FFmpeg. And the keywords. And he includes a command there, and it's quite long. The most important one is FPS, frames per second equals 120. Gumos says, which hardware podcast player did you move to? Hey, I was a longtime fan of the Sansa Clip as well, and managed to eventually kill both of the ones I owned and put Rockbox on. When I went to look for a third one, they were outlandishly expensive, and I couldn't suss out the make and model of the one you switched to. Kevin O'Brien replies, the one I brought was a Klang Top, K-L-A-N-G-T-O-P, which I found on Amazon. I just looked and now I didn't see it, but I see something that looks identical under the name AGP Tech. My guess is that they're all manufactured by a Chinese manufacturer as OEMs for various companies. And Gumos, or anybody else, I have some Sansa clips left over if anyone wants one. I think they're all working. Don't know what the battery life is like. Some of them have got the original firmware, and more of them have got Rockbox. All of them are capable of having Rockbox on them. So if anyone wants one of those, give me a shout and we'll see how we can get it to you. The next day, the Squirrel Free SF blog, the trouble with humans and human beings, Zen Floater 2. Gives us a very sitting in the kitchen rambling of lots of things, including Google Chrome OS, Dell Mini 10, OpenBSD, Enable, and so forth. Some comments here. Good question. One of the questions that was asked was, it possible to use text-based browser to post to Hacker Public Radio? The answer, of course, is yes. Yes, of course it is, because we use standard boring HTML. I just tried to post a show with links. Can be used to upload HPR. Just tried, and it works fine. If you're leaving comments, Zen Floater was commenting that the comment system wasn't working, but it is, because we get comments. We even get comments from dedicated spammers who are go through all the hoops to try and spam us. So if you're posting on a current show, which is a show in the last 10 days, then you get a difficult question you need to answer. What does the P in HPR stand for? Hacker Public Radio. And that's pretty much it. If, however, you're posting a comment for a show that's in the future, or posting a comment for a show that's in the past, then you need to go through additional questions. And the reason we do that for is obviously the ones in the future are not in the RSS feed, so people browsing those are more likely to be spammers. And spammers tend to go back and pick out a popular show from about a popular blog post from 2 or 3 months or even years ago, that you're well used to approving comments on, that something quite old that people have commented a lot going, yeah, I really like this, this is great, thanks, this helped me out. And they do that quite a lot. We get quite a lot of them where they, the dead giveaway is, of course, spammers, if you're listening to this, is where they go, great blog post. Yeah, it's a podcast. Okay, so 4 steps that you need to do if you're posting comments to older or newer shows. One is P for public. You need to deselect the I am a spammer tick box that will be selected for you by default, so you need to untick that. You need to go up to the top of the page and select who the host is for that particular show. And then you need to tell us something to prove that you are not a spammer. And I'm really enjoying the ones that we get in there, like comments like, you know, HPR is a community podcast, blah, 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 but some very nice ones. And I said, I'm using watching out for that squirrel is running 32-bit. So just something that we know when we approve the comment that you're a human or a squirrel. Squirrels and aliens, of course, Clatu, yes, yes, yes. That you're a community member of the HPR podcast. A listener says, enjoy the podcast, but the coffee slurping noises and throat clearing distracts from what was an enjoyable podcast. And for someone who mentions HPR is apolitical, you spend a lot of time talking about fascism and cancel culture. Kevin O'Brien says, thank you. I gather you won't see it, but thank you for your kind words. I look forward to more shows from you. Taj says, well, I'm cancelling this episode. You, the only valid reason, slurping your drink in my ear at high volume. And smiley face. So there we go. A bit tongue-in-cheek there, I think. And the following day, we had a HBR book, RPG. Not book club. No, not the book club. Guys, the book club hasn't submitted in a while. Did I hear a show recently where somebody promised me shows and pretended it was 1st of April? Well, I was in a different time zone at that time, so that doesn't count. Anywho, Dungeon Raiders. This is Benny McNallu, and it is a... this one was a simplified, I don't know if the word is. Yeah, simplified D&D. And the recommendation was this would be a good one to get kids into playing a game with kids. So, yep, useful. If you want to listen to that, I suggest you do. Update my Make KV to backup media. This was Archer 72 and another episode on how he is using MKV to do backing up. This time, using a Raspberry Pi. Good episode, actually. Archiving is very close to my heart as well. I do buy a lot of DVDs so that I physically own the media and then have that on the NAS available to us. In my previous show where I put Nextcloud behind my ISP's firewall, the only way to get an SSL cert from Let's Encrypt was to do it using the DNS TXT method, and that didn't allow automatic updates, so I was a bit concerned that my cert was going to run out and how I was going to renew it. Well, in actual fact, it's quite easy, so that's what this show goes through, and it's only 3 minutes long. That's including the intros and outros. Spambot Honeypot, implementing a honeypot spam style filter for your HTML forms is quite interesting. Great show, Kevin O'Brien says. I really enjoy these shows where people show how they can defeat the bad guys. I hope there are more war stories to come. The accessibility of that form came into question. So if some of our screen readery community members could have a look at the sample included in that and see air quotes, what is, if there are any issues implementing the accessibility using this method. Nextcloud application updating, Toget implementing a cron job, and this one is on my tick list to do, seeing that I had done a Nextcloud episode. And it is basically run once a week in update command. Very cool. Some guy on the internet did a show called about poisoning the well, shut down the negativity in our community. And Windigo agreed, saying, well said. I never understand why people feel entitled to attack those donating the results of their hard work. If I don't feel like using a piece of free software, I can skip it and support the ones that do. So an interesting thought discussion there on supporting, you know, when is the right time to give constructive criticism and when is that crossing over into negativity. Very good show. Some good shows come there out of that. Next day, make your Linux harder. Ever wanted to know about AppArmor and SE Linux? Yes, I did. And this actually turned out to be a very good introduction to it. Nobody says other MAC implementations. In the episodes, you weren't quite sure if there were other MACs for Linux beside SE Linux and AppArmor, and indeed there are. There is SMAC, which is quite uninteresting as it's just another labeled base MAC, similar to SE Linux. To me, the interesting one is TOMOYO, which started as a pathname file-based similar to AppArmor, but later started differentiating between applications based on their process invocation history. This means you can apply different policies on, say, /bin/sh, depending on the chain of execution leading to it. Kernel, pointing to the int, pointing to Getty, pointing to login, pointing to sh vs kernel, pointing to init, pointing to ssh, d, pointing to sh. While this is also possible in AppArmor, it's quite a lot more manual work and more difficult to reason about. TOMOYO also has much nicer tools than either of the more well-known MACs. SE Linux has given MAC a bad name as being hard and laborious to manage. If instead of SE Linux, people would be first introduced to TOMOYO, then they would probably be more inclined to implement an MAC. YouTube channels for learning Spanish was episode 3300. Something we're not even celebrating. We've passed another 100, and yes, fine. This is a list of various different aids that websites that Hookah, Kevin, is going to basically learn Spanish. Couldn't be easier to understand the idea behind the show. Common European Framework for Reference Languages is also an interesting read if you get a minute. Links in the show notes. Then, on the 29th, we had the Kerbal Space Program game. Now, I'd heard about this before, and I particularly often see Hackaday articles where they have hardware things for controlling this game, and that always seemed kind of cool. It was nice to get a rundown of the game, and Operator did that very well. Also, good advice on how to get into the game or how to skip forward and stuff if you're a new user. So, very good there. Another thing that I have never really come across has been the installation of different language input methods. So, to support different non-Western languages, I guess. how you put them in using Chinese emoji, Yorikai, penguin, and kanji, etc. And Tlake has a multilingual and multi-keyboard requirements type household, and this was an excellent example of what you need to do to get this all running. And I can understand exactly why he forgets this every time you do it, because things subtly change. So that's why you post a show on HPR, so that you come back and listen to yourself telling you what to do. The following day, we had Slackware on the Raspberry Pi, from Brian in Ohio, and ZenFloater2 says, "Bravo, an excellent show, sir. Someday I will try and put Slackware 13 on my older Chromebook." And that was that for this month. So yes, now what we normally do is have a review of any comments that there were posted on older shows, and back about posting shows to remind yourself to do something. This is now the second time I've gone back and thanked myself for posting the show on fixing ebook Calibre and PDF crop. In this case, I needed PDF crop because I needed to... I got a quote from somebody, and the first half was the header of one thing, and the part I needed was the bottom three quarters. So I took the entire thing, scanned it in, cropped the bottom three quarters, which was from the third party provider and not via the reseller. So the reseller bit was on the front, and then they had embedded a Word document into their thing, so their header was in each page. So I was able to crop that down, export it as individual JPEG files, and then do a text to do a optical character recognition thing on it to convert it to a file that you could edit. And Bob was your uncle, Maggie was your aunt, and Tom indeed is your first cousin. Well done. On the community news for December 2020, Tlaki had a question. OpenLDAP on BDB. I didn't know OpenLDAP originated on BDB. These days, I use its own LMDB, which has also replaced BDB in many other places. Turns out, OpenLDB started using BDB in 2002, and LMDB wasn't ready until 2011, in the middle of the NoSQL boom. Smiley face. And he includes two links to OpenLDAP and the Lightning memory mapped databases. On Swift 110's My Thoughts on Diversity and Linux and Open Source, BJHEND says, "Get rid of the bad terms in IT. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and feelings about bad terms in IT. I've better understood now what they may cause, so you got me to finally rename the different branches of all the Git repositories in my organization I'm responsible for. I've written an internal blog post about that, linking to the HPR episode. Hope that others will follow my example." Wow. Pretty cool that an episode can make such a change, and I hope it's continues to be a change for good. Mail list discussions. Let me just see. Call for shows during the week. So I had first a call for shows from people who were not regular subscribers or regular contributors. And then when that failed, I had to put out a call for show from the regulars, who thankfully were able to fill up the niche. But I'm looking at what's coming up right now in the queue, and it's not looking good either. We're okay for next week, thankfully. But for the weeks after, it's still free slots. There are loads of free slots right up until next month. And then after that, it thins out considerably. So, yeah, time to start recording shows. Just think of your day. Are you doing something that other people would find interesting? Well, if you're doing it, you yourself find it interesting. So why not just press record on your recorder and send in the show? It can be that easy. You don't even have to send in show notes. It's great if you do. We really encourage it. It makes our life a misery if you don't. But you getting shows in is the key here. And then you can work on your show notes later. Okay. That was that. What else did we have for last month? Dave. Subscriber stats since 2019. I sent in basically a chart showing the number of subscribers that we've had for that period of time. And there was a question, why did it drop in 2017 so much? And the answer to that was we were experiencing some issues at the time with the upload system, but we were also, those issues were as a result of us being DDoSed. So during that period, we were off the air for something like a week. So yeah, that was that. And I think also Dave commented, yeah, we had a DDoS attack around about that time. So it's kind of around about that period. So describing the graph, it goes from 1st of January 2016 to the, sorry, not the 1st of January. Yeah, the 1st of January 2016 to the 1st of February 2021. And it shows the number of subscribers to HPR. These are the number of people hitting the RSS feed within a 24 hour period from a unique IP address. I can guarantee you that that is a very conservative way of doing it if you're comparing it to other platforms. And we see that the graph kind of went down 2016 hovered around the 25,000 mark. There was a big dip in 2017 down to 15,000, and that came right back up again. That was around the the following month, the DDoS attack time. Then between 2016, middle of 2016, right up until the start of the pandemic, really, we saw a gradual growth in subscribers up to total of 40,000 a month. That has since come down and erratically hovering around 35,000 subscribers. Not a month, sorry, 35,000 subscribers. Yeah, I suppose it'd be within a month period, 35,000 people have subscribed. That means, of course, that those people are coming every day during that period. So on a particular day, on any given particular day, 35,000 people are choosing to pull down the feed. So if they pull it down four times a day, that's still counted only as once. And that was it for the mailing list. So, not a lot of point going to the events list calendar. And Dave added 10 additional shows with summaries. So if you want to help out, there are only 404 left. So if you want to be part of this excellent project, you can go to the link in this show and report _missing_tags.php and you can help out. So, that was it. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.